from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Coming up on today's show, we're going to actually discuss a little bit of real live baseball games, which were played over the weekend. Giants took on the Dodgers on Saturday in a game that was actually televised if you were able to access the Dodgers television feed, which you can do through a MLB.tv subscription. And then the Giants defeated the Oakland A's on Sunday in another Cactus League game. So the spring training schedule is underway, and I want to talk about the games that took place. There were some key moments, but I also want to focus on what to pay attention to in spring, what not to pay attention to in spring, and just kind of in terms of how it relates to the Giants, what I'm going to be watching for as spring training unfolds. So jumping right in, I kind of want to just talk about what not to look for in spring training. I assume that most people already know this, but it is important that we realize spring training is not about looking at stats or wins and losses, team stats or player stats necessarily. For example, in the first game against the Dodgers on Saturday, the Giants committed 3 errors in the first inning. Now, there may be some temptation to read into that immediately and say that it reflects poorly on the coaching staff preparing the players in the week or so that they had together to work on their fundamentals ahead of these games. However, I would just argue that spring training results kind of mean nothing, especially in the first game. And so there's probably some jitters, there's definitely some rust, and that's why you have spring training, and you don't just throw these guys into the regular season without kind of shaking off the cobwebs. Now, if something like poor fielding is a consistent theme for a particular player throughout the entire month of spring training, then that's a different story. But, you know, the other fact is the Giants lost the game. They gave up quite a few runs. I believe they gave up 10 runs in total. And that's just another insignificant piece of the equation. What we look for in spring is not so much the overall results and even the statistics from individual players, but instead watching individual players and the quality of their at-bats, their ability to lay off pitches that they can't handle or pitches out of the strike zone. And really, that's not a theme that we should be drawing any conclusions from for several weeks here, because, you know, baseball is a game of small samples, and small samples do not necessarily indicate the talent of a player, even in a regular season setting. So yeah, for me, I'm looking at more like the quality of the at-bats. And so from that first game, I'm looking for like positives to draw out of these games. And if somebody really, really struggles in spring, then we look into that as well. But from this game, really, the only takeaways for me, there were some really impressive pitching performances. But also, we got a Mauricio Dubon home run, and that just kind of, for me, continued to pique my interest because he showed some intriguing power, mostly to the pull side, in his brief stint with the Giants in 2019. So then, here on Saturday, he pulls a home run down the line. The other big takeaway from that game on Saturday was the very impressive home run by Joey Bart. He got himself into a favorable count, I believe it was 2-1, and then the pitcher threw a fastball on the low outside part of the plate, and Bart just absolutely pummeled it to the right side. He went with the location. It was down and away, and he just went down and got it and created so much lift with that swing of his and just muscled it out to right field. It was an extremely impressive hack for me. He also looked good defensively. And so, yeah, when I say like we're not reading too much into, for example, the errors in the first inning of game one, that doesn't mean when players make good plays, we can't speak to the fact that it was a good defensive play. It's more like a fluky error here and there is not something to read into. But if you're showing good blocking ability and you're Joey Bart, he blocked a tough pitch and then almost threw a guy out with a really strong arm. So it was good to see those tools, I guess is what I'm saying. It's nice to be able to, in spring, see the tools of the different players. Another takeaway from Sunday was that Sean Gelly looked really good and was throwing hard in the ninth inning to close out the Giants' win against the Oakland A's. So the 6'11 Gelly is in Major League camp for the first time. So this is his first, you know, audition there, and he looked really good. I've been talking about Gelly a lot all offseason as someone who I think they could push aggressively simply because they have done that. They did that last season in the first year under Farhan Zaidi. They were quite aggressive with their young players and promoting them. So I think we very well could see Sean Gelly at some point this season in the major leagues. And kind of a side note, I want to talk about at some point Elliot Ramos and the likelihood of him coming up to the major leagues at some point in 2020 as well. Farhan Zaidi saying last week at some point that it was definitely possible that we could see him in the majors in 2020. So we'll save the details of that and what that means for another date, but I just wanted to mention it there. So coming up in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the key storylines I'll be following as spring training unfolds. And it's not about the wins and losses. It's about individual players and who steps up and claims some of these open jobs. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75 degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Hit the road and explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Check off must-see destinations from your bucket list like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Arizona also has tons of stuff for kids to do and see like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Okay, as promised here in the second half of the show, I want to talk about the key storylines for the Giants in spring training. So this is a camp where there's going to be a lot of competition for various spots. Like they're not the settled group that they've been in the past under the old regime. And the competition is by design. They don't just want to hand jobs to various guys who may not earn it. So one of the big storylines, I think, is what's going to end up happening at second base. There does not seem to be a lot of clarity. Mauricio Dubón was kind of the presumed starter until the offseason unfolded and the Giants went ahead and signed like Yolmer Sanchez and said to him, apparently, that he would have a good chance of competing for the everyday second base job. And by everyday, I do assume that means against right-handed pitching. Because nobody's an everyday guy anymore on this team. You're going to always see platoons, at least until some kind of superstar-type player arrives. But so, Yolmer Sanchez is a guy I'm definitely going to be watching this spring. The Giants there have been stories coming out about how new hitting coach Justin Vile was someone who advocated for the Giants to sign Yolmer Sanchez after he was non-tendered by the White Sox. Sanchez, of course, is a great defensive player, but has struggled a little bit with the bat. He has had some solid seasons offensively, but the Giants and their coaches seem to believe that Sanchez has a lot more in the tank from an offensive perspective, and they've been working with him on that. So that's kind of going to be the blueprint for this team. They're going to have tons of little projects like this. And with that many guys, you know, with a number of different candidates who are really good at one thing but just need to improve in one other area, I think there's a pretty high chance that at least one or two of these guys, they're able to transform that part of their game. And then at that point, they become such a better player because they already have this floor of talent to fall back on. And then if you can just improve this other area of their game, then all of a sudden you're looking at a stud. And that's the idea with Sanchez. It's kind of also the idea with Billy Hamilton, who's an elite defensive center fielder and base runner, but has trouble hitting. So if they can just make a slight improvement there, they could make a big difference in their overall contributions. So how Yolmer Sanchez kind of, he's a guy we are going to be looking at the offense because they're making changes. They want to see those changes so he has a chance to earn that job. But then if he makes the team, how does that affect Mauricio Dubon? How does it affect Donovan Solano? How does it affect Wilmer Flores? So they have all kinds of moving parts and depth. And if one guy doesn't make it, it changes the outlook for several other guys. So I want to see how Donovan Solano fares this spring. I think Wilmer Flores is a safer bet for the roster, certainly. But, you know, the battle between Sanchez, Dubon, and Solano kind of for second base or kind of backup middle infield is very intriguing. Something else I want to look for is center field. This is another position like second base where it could go a number of different ways. You could have Mike Yastrzemski in center with Dickerson and Pence in a platoon in left. You could have Jalen Davis in right. We'll get to that in a second. And you could have Mauricio Dubon maybe platooning with Yastrzemski in center. It's really hard to say. So we're going to be watching. I think Yastrzemski has a pretty safe spot on the roster, although if he really, really struggles in spring and just doesn't look right, he's someone who does have minor league options remaining. So I think it'll be interesting to see who gets a lot of the playing time in center. Steven Duggar started in center on Saturday, and Mike Yastrzemski started there on Sunday. And then Joey Rickard went in and played center field after Yastrzemski. So I think as we get deeper into the spring, we'll start to get a better idea of who they're legitimately considering out there. But another name to watch is Billy Hamilton, who, if they can help him hit a little bit, I have heard that he could be in the conversation as a starting level center fielder. So they've given themselves a lot of options. Jalen Davis can also move to center. So it's really hard to know right now, but that's something we'll be watching. So then last couple of things, Jalen Davis's spring is going to be big because if he really struggles, I don't think he's going to make the team out of the gate, although I think he will show up eventually, certainly. But, you know, they have other options. They could go to Dickerson, Pence in left, Yastrzemski in right, and then all their other, like Hamilton and Dubon, Duggar. They have other options in center that would help them put Yastrzemski in right, which means they're not overly reliant on any one player needing to do well and needing to break camp with the team. They've given themselves so many options. On the pitching side, the bullpen competition is going to be wide open, so that'll be fascinating to watch. And then the starting rotation pretty much set. I mean, I guess health is a big factor, but Cueto, Samardzija, Smiley, Gausman should all break camp as starters. So it's just really that fifth starter. Will it be another veteran? Like, will it be Trevor Cahill or Tyson Ross? Or will one of Tyler Beede or Logan Webb or somebody else jump in and really prove that they deserve that spot over anybody else? So last thing, of course, would be the competition for backup catcher. It seems to be right now a pure competition between Tyler Heineman and Rob Brantley. Heineman is a switch hitter. Brantley hits from the left side. So both of them in that role, you know, would be probably primarily playing from the left side. So they both kind of fit that description, and it'll be interesting to see who emerges from that competition. And the presumption is that Joey Bart will come potentially replace one of them when he's ready, which could just be a few months into the 2020 season. So that's what I'll be watching for this spring, among other things. Just kind of also watching Joey Bart's at-bats, I think, will be fun for me during spring as well. And also Sean Gelly, of course. But anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show every weekday, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter, @BenCaspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.